Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling. Here is my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am 5x5, babe. 5x5. It means nothing, but also it could mean everything. Who really knows?
I loved Tara calling that out and being like, that doesn't mean anything. And Will being like, I know. It means nothing. It actually doesn't mean anything.
Tara's an icon this episode with an S because we are doing two.
We're covering both episodes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so today we're covering episodes 15 and 16, This Year's Girl and Who Are You? Because that is what our little cohort of friends told us to do. It would have sucked. It would have sucked to get the Freaky Friday at the end of the episode and then have to wait an entire week. Like all you losers who watched it when it aired.
Sucks
to be you. So we watched two episodes, which, you know what it also meant, Sarah? It means I watched two episodes of Angel, too.
Oh, frick. I forgot about Angel. I only watched one.
It's fine.
I did watch. Okay, truth be told, today I did watch two episodes of Angel. However, I watched last.
Oh, you watched last week's and then this
Angel.
Week's.
And I watched this week's Angel. I totally forgot that, like, I needed to watch third Angel, but three episodes of Angel is way too much. I can't do that to myself.
Yeah, I'll give you the lowdown, but that's for later in the podcast. First, let's talk about these two episodes. Let's just say, like, broad strokes here. Did you enjoy? I feel like you loved this two-parter.
I feel pretty confident that these are my two favorite episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer I have ever seen, maybe by leaps and bounds. I gasped. I almost cried. I was scared. I was happy. I was excited. I felt all the emotions and more. And I loved every single bit of it. And I thought that I loved the first episode. And then the second episode came around and I loved it even more. I only have good things to say about these two episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. 11 out of 10, maybe 12 out of 10, maybe 100 out of 10. I don't know, not a mathematician, but it's a lot of percentages, a lot of fractions.
Fractions happening.
I'm going to throw all the fractions at you, quite honestly, because I loved it. I loved it a lot.
Yeah. I think if I have two nitpicks, and they are small.
Don't be a skanky bitch. Okay.
Number one is don't put Faith in your previously on. How dare you, show? Because immediately, as soon as Faith is in the previously on, I'm like, okay, Faith is coming back. And I was ticked off because I feel like if I didn't know that, it would have been just like a bigger, just like excitement for me. Mm-hmm. My second nitpick, and I don't even know if this is a real nitpick, but it's more like, okay, when we have this whole situation with Walsh dying, or like they're having to pivot, right? The showrunners and the writers, they have to pivot because they got rid of Walsh. Walsh had to leave the show, whatever, whatever, whatever. I wish we just brought Faith back as the big bad for the rest of the season. Like it's my nitpick is that give me more. I'm not satiated. Like I want more Faith because I love the character of Faith. I find the her versus Buffy of it all and the two different like styles of slaying and kind of philosophies around slaying, I find endlessly fascinating. And so to only have Faith for like two episodes, I was like, oh man, like I want more of her. So obviously I do think we'll get more of her. Like she ran off. She's not dead, you know? So she probably will come back to the show. But I was like, oh man, I want an entire season of Faith as the big bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it was quite interesting to see her evolution, especially in the second episode. I don't really know where Faith's like head is at the end of the second episode, because I mean, we'll get into it, just like how I feel like she felt for the first time it was rewarding to be the Slayer, to have people thank you for what you do. It's really comes down to appreciation. And guess what? Like Jess and I have been saying that for an entire season now, that the reason why Faith turned bad was a lack of appreciation from her peers, but also I guess like just the world. So
I think part of it is just like she's very lonely, and that was just made so evident in these episodes, that like she is so supremely lonely and tries to put up this front of like, no, I'm meant to be this way. And like, no, I'm not. This is just how I am. Like, and Buffy just doesn't get it or whatever, you know, like she just doesn't enjoy slaying like I do. But ultimately, she just seems very sad and very lonely. And it is really tragic because we've talked about this before, like when we had the Faith storyline of like, this is a route Buffy could have gone down. Like you can kind of see how each of them landed on these paths, you know? But okay, let's back up a little bit, because when we start the episode, Faith isn't even freaking awake yet. We get a little check-in with Riley. He's like leaving the Initiative hospital, whatever this place is, against his friend's advice. But he's like, no, I'm good. I'm also in charge. So you're going to listen to me. But now he's having a little bit of a crisis of conscience, Sarah, because he's used to being a soldier. He's used to being a cog in the machine where he takes the orders. He's not used to living in this like morally gray area that Buffy lives in. And I think it's really tough for a little golden retriever boy, Riley, to be like out on his own trying to make his own decisions.
It's not as simple as what Buffy makes it sound to be of, hey, I used to be part of a larger organization. I quit and my life is better now because of it. I follow nobody's orders. It's not going to be like that for Riley. Like, I don't think that he's going to be able to just like quit and then be a rogue demon hunter a la Wesley. Yes. Like, I don't think that it's going to be possible for Riley. I'm very curious about the whole Riley situation, because we got like very little confirmation on if he's fully weaned off of Professor Walsh's drugs, strength supplements, or if he is back on them. Like, it's so unclear, because you would think, like, I would have thought that they would bring him back to the hospital, fill him up back with like all those supplements, all those steroids, whatever he's taking or was taking, and then he would have to like go back into a state of of like, I don't know, weaning himself off if he left.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious. They didn't explain it. And I guess, I don't know, like, I guess I don't have to know at this moment. It wasn't really relevant at this time, but yeah.
No, I'm with you that like, I guess if we're nitpicking again, like, I would have liked to know, is he still taking them? Like, because what is the situation? Because now we have, he knows via, like, everyone knows, right, that they all were being fed supplements or medication or whatever via their food from Walsh. Are the rest of the soldiers still taking them? Are they like, pretty much yummy steroids, hooray? Like,
we don't know. I think they have to be, because it sounded like, I mean, now that the, because there was also that other scientist guy, and he, that died via Adam in the last episode, and he was like, yeah, like, everyone's back on their program again, back on routine. I just feel like, I don't know, and maybe there's a world that, like, Riley now know, like, it must be hard to be like, oh yes, I am now a weakling, because everything that I've been doing for the past X amount of years is taken away from me because it's a supplement. Like, there's a world where Riley, now that Riley knows that, like, there is some supplement, he continues taking it, because otherwise he's like a weak ass bitch. But I mean, yeah. I'm not quite sure. It doesn't really matter.
It seems like he is taking something, though, because he says, oh, like, yeah, definitely whatever she was giving us made us stronger. Like, I'm healing up nicely. Like, in my opinion, that means then, well, he's taking it again and he's healing faster. But maybe not. Maybe I'm just like reading too much into that. You're right. It doesn't matter right now. But it certainly is something that I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and I don't know that the show is ever going to, like, you know, answer that question for us.
It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so of course they will. Like, this is
that's young, what,
like,
I'm other lesser shows wouldn't. I'm hoping that they will explain it.
Yeah.
But either way, Buffy and Riley are like back together, and he wants to help, but of course he's still injured, so Buffy is like wanting to kind of have him on the sidelines a little bit, especially when they hear that Faith has escaped. So we start the episode like in these dreams. We're in like Faith's dream world. And in her dream world, Buffy is the enemy. Buffy is the bad one. Buffy is the one who stabbed her and like is chasing her around. Buffy kills the mayor in this dream. And the whole thing with the graveyard was so creepy, where like Faith falls into an open grave. Buffy jumps in, and then only Faith kind of climbs out, and that's when she wakes up.
It's pretty cool because it's all about perspective, and I find these types of things pretty interesting. It's the old saying, like, everybody's the hero in their own story. Like, everybody is living, like, there's not a lot of people out there that are like living day to day being like, I'm the villain, like, I'm the bad guy here. So she genuinely thinks that, like, her and the mayor were doing some sort of like great justice for the world or whatever propaganda was spewed from the mayor. Like, and she really sees her story as Buffy is like ruined her life or is trying to stop
over some vampire who she's not even with anymore. Like, I can't imagine being Faith, waking up in a hospital. We're going to look past the fact that her muscles should have atrophied in 8 months, but she's a slayer, so she's strong. It doesn't matter. She can stand right up. And it's been 8 months. It is February. And the first person she runs into, she finds out that, like, oh yeah, Sunnydale High is no more. Like, you missed the graduation. It like exploded and the mayor died. And so she's finding out from some stranger minutes after she woke up that the person that she saw as a father figure is dead. Like, that is so sad. I don't care how you feel about Faith, whether you think she's like the worst villain on the planet, whatever. Like, that is horrible to wake up alone in a dank ass, empty ass hospital room. No flowers, no cards, no indication that literally any human being has visited you, right? Like, I'm sorry. If I'm in a coma for 8 months, first of all, just put me on my misery. But second of all, like, what? If I wake up and no one's there, that's so sad.
It's pretty sad. I don't know. I don't really know who would come and visit her besides the mayor, but that's like besides
that's,
the point.
That's the point, though. That's the whole point, right? That's the
point, yeah.
Is that no one would visit her because mm-hmm. she doesn't have anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say she was placed in a hospital that had a great, like, blanked. I fucked up the joke. It's all, it doesn't even matter. Wow.
Well,
physical therapy. It's not.
Oh, yeah, because she didn't atrophy at all. They were exercising her legs left, right, and center.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It would have been so much better of a funny joke if I actually remember the words physical therapy. But whatever. I'm a horrible comedian. Not even.
No, it's fine. It's a Monday. People,
the Mondays are Mondaying. So it was pretty sad, I guess. But then also she's like pretty evil. And the hospital is stupid. They really should have had proper security. And I really don't like that they were blaming that one nurse, because literally she just came into her shift. She just clocked in.
This woman has been in a coma for 8 months. Why would they think she'd just get up and walk away? They have no idea she's a slayer. They just think she's a criminal. So like, this is ridiculous. But Faith basically knocks out the woman she talks to, steals her clothes, and leaves the hospital. And then some random demon delivers a VHS from the mayor. She just mm-hmm. kills this demon. She didn't even ask questions. She's like, boom, dead.
No. She was like, I have a message for you. It's kind of like
she literally killed the messenger.
She literally killed him. If he was like, hey, I have a message for you from the mayor, instead of being like, hey, I'm over here, got something for you, buddy. Like, do you want to know it's a secret message? Like, he was dawdling. Yeah. We have to get straight to the point, you know? He was like, if he's like, package for mayor, that's it. Like, that's all I had to say. But I guess he
chuck it at her and run.
Exactly. You should. She's
It's fine. A VHS. It'll survive.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that the mayor left her a little tape.
His cameos gave me life, Sarah. Like, mm-hmm. truly, I appreciate the mayor as a villain more now with like hindsight. And I think his little picnic cameo with the snake, and then also his cameo on the VHS, they were just so good. Like him just being like, well, if you're watching this, I'm dead and you're all alone.
Yeah. Jeez. I mean, he's really funny. I mean, he's no Danny Vamps. I firmly believe that.
Oh, well,
with all my heart.
Man on my poster, you know, only one man.
The myth, the legend. With Fruit Punch Mouth. So no, the cameos were really great. I really did like the dream sequences. I think that it was a good perspective to see what is going on in Faith's mind, especially because like it's not like Felicity where we have like narratives or
there's no voiceovers to tell us how they're feeling.
Yeah, so it was a really interesting tool to show you like how Faith perceives all of this, and of course she's going to come out with a vengeance because. The very first thing that she hears is that the mayor got killed and that she's truly all alone. And she has been in a coma for 8 months because of Buffy stabbing her, because of the blood that's needed for Angel. So she has a grudge to hold.
Yeah.
Understandably so, I suppose.
Especially because the first thing she sees, like even prior to getting the VHS, she like does a little sneaky moment on the Scoobies.
Yeah.
And she's like expecting, I assume, to see Buffy hanging out with Angel and all this other stuff. And she's like, who the fuck is this guy? Who's this blonde guy she's hanging all
who's
over?
This weeb over here? What the actual fuck? And it's like, and she's thinking like, all for what? And on top of that, she's also thinking like, if I wasn't in fucking a coma for 8 months, I could have maybe stopped Buffy. I mean, I don't really think she could have, but this is probably what she's thinking. I could have saved the mayor. I could have done something. She took that away from me. She takes everything away from me. She is like, you know, is the slayer. She's
the one and only slayer, as she says later.
Yeah. She has all the friends. She has a mom. She has a support system. She has a Giles. And the one thing that I had, the mayor, she took that fucking away from me too. Of course, Faith is going to want to, first thing on her to-do list is not even to go get McDonald's after being in a coma for 8 months. It's straight to Giles' house, straight to Buffy to fuck that bitch up and get revenge. But of course she is. It's interesting because like, I like how Buffy later on is like, yeah, like Faith has no chill. She's not subtle at all, but she actually was sneaking around a little bit. She like was doing her little spy thing.
Stealth mode. Yeah.
Yeah. She like showed up at the university. Like she collected a lot of information very quickly without much assistance from anybody, which was really cool. But this other thing that she got in this package was like the special device. And I gotta tell you, Jess, like I had no fucking idea. I was like, whatever this is, I don't give a shit.
It almost looks like a cross between what are those metal knuckle things that you put on? Brass knuckles.
Like brass knuckles.
Look kind of like a brass knuckle mixed with like those things that clowns put on their hands and electrocute people when you shake their hand.
This is why
you need that vibe.
Yeah, I agree with you. You should never shake anybody's hand ever because
didn't we learn anything from 2020?
Because either you're going to get buzzed by a clown or you're going to be
Freaky Friday'd.
Nobody wants that.
Well, I guess you might want that depending on who you are and who you're Freaky Friday'ing with.
I don't think I want to Freaky Friday anybody.
I don't either. Maybe for like, okay, consensual. Like 20-minute Freaky Friday. Maybe I can get down with.
With who?
That's a good question. I don't know. But I would want to like, you know what it is? I want to pee standing up. That's what I want to do. I want to try.
So would you Freaky Friday with your husband?
I don't think so. I think that's too close to home. Because I feel like I'll know too much.
What do you mean?
I'll know what it feels like to be him, and that's a little weird.
This is so weird because I feel as though like if you're going to be comfortable with anybody, it would be your husband.
I kind of want to do it for like 10 minutes and then never see the person again.
I think I would want to Freaky Friday with my husband so that this is insanity, so that I can feel what it feels like to be with me.
Yourself?
I just want to know if there's any improvements that
are we sure that I'm the Leo and not you? That you want to be able to fuck
like
an yourself.
Exploratory like self-improvement thing.
Okay. Like I don't want to know that information. I don't want to know what I look like. Like I don't want to know all that.
How can I improve on myself? Is there any moves that I can do better?
But you do realize that this is like the like equivalent of like doing your O face in a mirror. Like you'd have to see that. And like I'm not saying yours isn't attractive because I certainly don't know, but like I it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you realize you're like an ugly crier, and it's like, oh no, like that's how I feel. I kind of, because I want to do some weird ass shit.
That is weird ass shit.
Well, no, I mean like I want to get in my like boy body. And the first thing I want to do is like pee standing up. And then I want to like do like weird hip motions and just see what I can do with
you
it.
Just want
you know,
to pop it around.
I kind of want to.
But why not your husband? I don't understand.
Because I don't need the judgment and I don't want to see myself. I want this to be like a solo experiment of just like, I'm going to go in a room by myself and do whatever I want to do
but
with
then
my weird
rando's
body.
Rando's in your body and like weapons.
Yeah, I don't
like,
want them to harm it though. That's the problem. It does have to be someone
you
trust. Yeah,
like you have to do it with somebody that you can be trusted with.
Sign a contract that they can't. No,
because like that's the thing. Like you get Freaky Friday'd into your worst enemy, and then next thing you know, they're fucking your boyfriend.
And they stole your body.
And they literally stole your body.
That'd be really bad.
You have to do it with somebody that you feel safe with.
That's true.
But also not somebody that like you're related to, because that's creepy.
Ew, no.
I think it has to be a friend. I still think that it should be your husband, but then it has to be your friend. I'm going to say your friend Stuart, your other co-host, is the and then like you can have the British accent.
If we had the opportunity,
yeah,
would you ever Freaky Friday with me?
Consensual. You have to say consensual. Consensual Freaky Friday.
Well, yeah, I just did. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see what he says. Yeah. Okay. But Yeah. So after all of that, Faith is pissed, right? In Faith's world, I just woke up at an 8-month coma. My stand-in father is dead, all because of Buffy to save her vampire boyfriend, who she's now no longer with. And she's just with this like blonde dude. I don't know. Mm-hmm. She gets pissed and she's like, you know what I'm going to do? Kidnap Joyce. So yeah. She goes into her house. She just Joyce opens the door and immediately Faith is like, boom, in the face.
Nice to see Joyce again. I didn't know where Joyce was. She could have been in one of those like European cruises for all I knew. I don't think we have seen her. We saw her like once or twice this season, but I don't really remember much of her this season. But she's there.
Buffy doesn't remember much of her this season either because no, she hasn't been home to visit. And she lives like, you know, 10 minutes away.
Ish, yeah. I mean, it's California. It's probably like 10 minutes, but like really
it's like 45 minutes. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting because like Joyce always treated Faith well. Like she was pretty much like the only one inviting her to dinners, like giving her compliments, but also Faith really chained her up, stole her lipstick, and was like giving her a real hard time.
Harlot lipstick, the red color, a nice deep red.
I think I have a red lipstick, but I don't think it's harlot colored. So she is basically just like negging Joyce because she's like, Buffy doesn't visit you. She doesn't give a shit about you. That's what she does to people. She uses them and just like discards them. That's your daughter. And I don't really know exactly what Faith figured that eventually Buffy would come to Joyce, especially if because at this point Buffy knows that Faith has escaped. Obviously Buffy thinks that she's going to go after her loved ones. She didn't realize that Faith was really just like outside you would think that she was better at like scouting or like being observant. Yeah. She's not. And Buffy does come figure out that
through the window.
Like, girl,
this is your mom's house. Like just like sneak in through the front door.
No, we have to be stealthy. So she comes in through the window and then we are kicky kicky punchy punchy. And it seems as
we're breaking everything in our mom's house, by the way. Coffee table gone. French doors fucking smattered. Gone. Everything is gone. Everything is broken. You broke the dining room table. You broke all the fine china. Everything is broken.
You know, it's better than somebody else's house. I think so because I hate it when we're just breaking random people's shit. So we are breaking everything and all it takes is one handshake. We do, once again, no handshakes. Don't do handshakes. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's a Freaky Friday. And I yelped when this happened. I was like, we're doing a Freaky Friday thing? I'm like, is that what we're doing right now?
The way they did it too was great. Where they like turned to Buffy and like Joyce asks how she is. And she just goes, 5 by 5. And then gives this like evil little smirk.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's great. I was so jazzed. Like you were. Like I was like, we're doing Freaky Friday. This is so fun. Especially because it's getting to see Sarah Michelle Gellar and Eliza Dushku like do the reverse, like do play each other.
Yeah.
Was so fun. They both were very good at it. Like very, very good. Very good.
I think that if I had to like pick one person that was more of a standout, I think that Sarah Michelle Gellar really nailed it with the mannerisms and just the way that she said stuff. Like it was very, very believable that like that was Faith under there. But I do think Elijah Dushkaboos did LaBooBoo.
And I think like if I'm thinking of specific like lines or moments when I felt like it really was they were standouts, I think Eliza Dush whatever when she was she's Buffy and she's going to visit Giles, and she goes, Giles, like, just the way she said Giles's name, that entire scene, I felt like she did a really, really good job.
Yeah.
And the moments that killed me the most with Faith in Buffy's body, one of the moments that cracked me up so much is when she's in the mirror and she's just like, because it's wrong.
Yeah, I know.
It's wrong.
Yeah. It's so funny because I think that, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar probably had a really good time kind of making fun of herself.
Exactly.
In a way, because, like, we all know that Buffy is way too serious. Like, such, like... like, such, like, and she can be very, very emotional. She can be very serious. She can really lean into that, like, broody version of herself. So I'm sure that Sarah Michelle Gellar had a really fun time making fun of herself, like, literally looking in the mirror and just being, like, exaggerating it, those lines, yeah, that, like, drive her crazy, but then also, like, getting to be a fucking, like, slutty badass as well. I'm sure that was, yes, really, really fun for her to play, dressing up in more, like, Scandaloso clothes.
Yeah, she got the leather pants, she got the red lipstick, she has the wavy hair. Yeah, I even, yeah, loved her when she does, like, go out to the Bronze and, like, was dancing and everything, and then she does meet up with Tara and Willow, and she's, the way she sits is so Faith. She, yes, just, like, for lack of a better term, like, man spreads everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just takes up that space in a way that Buffy doesn't.
I know. Yeah, because, like, the way that Faith sits is very, like, a lot of, like, male energy. Male,
she's spreading those legs, like, just, yeah, again, not in, like, the weird way, she's just taking up space, she's more hunched too. Yeah. It is very masculine. It's like, and not in a, we're not judging her either, it's just like, that's, no, just the way she sits.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
And it's so, it was so spot on. Like, they both did such a great job, and I think that is, with, again, you have to be able to trust that the actors can handle what you're giving them. Mm-hmm. And both of these women just gave everything.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I agree. I'm very curious. I wonder if there's, like, commentary or anything about, I'm sure the women studied each other in the scenes to try to replicate how the other would say something, or how, yeah, because it really is those moments. I think that for Faith, the Giles scene in particular was probably the most Sarah Michelle Gellar that Eliza,
yes, did.
Like, I, like, really could see, once again, those mannerisms, the fluctuations of words. I mean, I think, like, impersonations, a lot of the time, like, you don't have to look like that person ever. And you, mm-hmm, don't even have to have, like, the same exact voice, but it's really just, like, how you pronounce the words, the certain exaggerations on certain words, even, like, mouth movements or eye movements. I thought that it was pretty incredible. I think that they both did a very good job. That Giles scene in particular, like, Eliza just, like, nailed it. I thought that I really do. She was so mean, but I loved the scene when like Faith as Buffy is at the Bronze, between
Tara,
conversations with Tara, was great, but also, like, with Spike as well. Like, she was like, I, like, when she realized, like, who she was talking to was, like, William the Bloody, who she, I guess, has never met, but has heard of in, mm-hmm, like, lore past. It's like, oh, like, William the Bloody cannot, yeah, like, fight anymore. That is, and she was like, I love this city sometimes. And then she, I love, like, I forget exactly what she said, but she, the what she said to him to really, like, grind his gears was so, like, fun as well.
And this is the wild part, right? Is it's like, because, yeah, we know it's Faith in Buffy's body. But still, the chemistry between, yeah, the actors is so off the charts that, uh-huh, I, like, adored that moment.
Yeah. What did she say? She was like something like, you know, like, I, like, will kill you.
Yeah. She's like, I could do whatever I want. I could make, she basically was like threatening to fuck him into submission or something. And then she was like, yeah, but I wouldn't because I'm good or because that's bad. Like something like that.
It's bad. Like
the thing she was practicing in the mirror is what she said. Yeah.
Yeah. I just like loved that she did because like I'm a good girl. Like it was just so fun. And like, yeah, let's talk about the Tara scene because Buffy was like, I'm gonna go. Faith as Buffy was like, I'm going to go patrol because that's what I do. And I'm going to, it's like so fun because like she hates Buffy. So then she can like mock Buffy the whole time. And she's like, I'm going to go patrol because like, I'm going to like kick ass. And that's like what I do. And then she goes straight to the Bronze to like party her fucking little ass off. And Willow and Tara like come to the Bronze because Willow is like, nobody's gonna be at the Bronze because everybody's like out because
Buffy said she was out slaying, so Willow doesn't think she's gonna be there. And before all of that, I really love the Tara Willow progression this episode.
With
first of all, the Tara punching may be one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Oh my god, she was like bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah, she's like, are you swimming not knowing what 5x5 was great. And I like Tara saying like oh yeah, no one knows who I am, no one's met me, like basically calling Willow out for like keeping her a secret. And Willow tries to explain it by saying like, yeah, our group is all about slaying and I wanted something that's just mine. And Tara saying I am yours, I was like, oh my god, I ship it so hard.
it was like really sweet. And it was like just the way that she said it too, it wasn't like seductive or too forward, it was so gentle and I keep saying
and genuine, right? Like and she genuine, really really meant it.
It's just like this new little relationship, it's just so precious and delicate that it's just like very pure. I really like it.
I love it. I did pull up what Faith as Buffy says to Spike. She says, even you, Spike, I could ride you at a gallop until your legs buckled and your eyes rolled up. I've got muscles you've never even dreamed of. I could squeeze you until you popped like a warm champagne and you begged me to hurt you just a little bit more.
That's hot.
You know why I don't? Because it's wrong.
Ooh, I love that. I love that.
It's so good.
She's totally talking about Kegels. Like,
oh yeah, she does her Kegels all the time.
All the time.
How long is she? Yeah. This is an age before cell phones, before anything. How bored must you get slaying? You know that's when she does her Kegels.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's probably doing like 10 reps of 15 or something. I don't know. Yeah. Very strong.
Okay. So Tara and Buffy meet, but Buffy is Faith. And this is what I really thought was so interesting about this episode, that like, because Buffy has talked to Xander, Willow, Giles, Anya, all these people at this point. She didn't even know Anya's name. And I love her being like, oh good, I've never met you, so I shouldn't know your name, Tara. But she's really mean to Tara. Like, she, first of all, Bi Queens recognize Bi Queens. And so she's like, I know you and Willow have a little something, something going on. Like, I see it. I know what's up. Mm-hmm. And she's really mean to Tara. And Tara is like, that bitch ain't Buffy.
I really loved it. She was like being a nasty little bitch. Like, she brought up, Oz, I forgot his name because he's just so useless. She was like, I don't know, she was like just being really nasty to what exactly. You'll have to pull up what she was saying to Tara as well, because there was like, these lines were just like so vicious but so entertaining as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I really loved it. I thought it was awesome that Tara just like spotted it right away, and she was the only one, and she brought Willow back to her place and was like, she was like, that's not your friend. And she
because what Buffy says is she says like, oh, you guys been hanging out a lot lately, huh? So Willow's not driving stick anymore. Who would have thought? Mm-hmm. I guess you never really know someone until you've been inside their skin. And Oz is out of the picture. Oh, I've never seen two people so much in love. She couldn't get enough of little old Oz. And then Tara stutters a little bit and Buffy makes fun of that.
Yeah,
that which really hurt my heart. I'm not going to lie, Sarah. Like it felt like someone punched me in the heart because yeah. I hated that so much. Like I really hated it.
Ugh. That's what that I think like stuck out as like the really mean thing was like Tara was stuttering and she's like, are you going to spit that fucking sentence out anytime this century?
Yeah.
Not exactly like that, but pretty much like that. And yeah, that was pretty nasty. I don't like it when people are making fun of things like stutters, like, you know.
Yeah, it's nothing she can help. It's like, oh, it's just so frustrating to watch her do that, because it was just like, no, be nice to her. We like her.
Yeah. Well, I really did love that Tara was able to clock it immediately. And the reasoning is like, yeah, because she's such a good witch, unlike Willow, she said, I can detect energies, and Buffy's energy was just really disconnected to herself. And yep. They were on like different frequencies, like something along those lines. And Willow was like, do you think it's like a demon, or like, what do you think it was? Is it hyena energy? Because that's really fucked. You don't want to go there.
The hyena energy thing yeah. cracked me up too.
Yeah. And she was like, I don't know. And then they're like, okay, we're going to do something witchy to figure out what the frick is happening. And this orgasmic scene of
this was crazy. This like, yeah, the witchiness. So basically like Tara says she has to be her anchor or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, she has to be her anchor. And so she's like, you have to trust me. And she's like, I trust you.
Oh,
and
then it was hot. Yeah.
It's all very like, like they're like, come on now.
I loved it. The music that they played at the same time. It was sexy. It was hot. It was sweet. Like this is the sort of witchy stuff that I really, really, I just like this like practical magic, like sisterhood type of magic type of thing. Like I really like it. I think that like having Willow having a Wicca partner is what she needed, especially because she can't do fucking magic on her own because she sucks ass.
Because Tara, we know, is a much stronger witch than yes. her. Based
on she's a real witch.
Let me just ask like a very simple, real quick question. If Willow knows how strong of a witch Tara is, why the fuck is Rat Amy still Rat Amy? Why is she not human Amy at this point?
It's going to be a project. It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. I just think that Tara is the type of person. I think that she's very embarrassed of her powers. So she downplays it a lot. Like I think that there's like probably like a source of shame. Like maybe we know her mom's a witch. Maybe her mom went to the dark side. Like, who knows?
There's something she's hiding because we saw her put the magic dust underneath the rug.
Yeah. There's something going on. But I think that she's very, like, she likes to make herself seem small. Like, she doesn't like being in the center of attention.
She's an observer.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that she lets Willow lead with the magic stuff and is like, oh, like tell me how this works. But like, I feel like she knows. Like,
she knows how to do it. Yeah.
I feel like she downplays herself, makes like Willow out to be like the leader when in reality, like she has all the talent. I think it's like pretty cool. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So they figure it out right away. They know exactly what's going on. They know it's like some sort of something.
She could sense that like Buffy's energy was off, and so she's like, okay, we have to do this thing, and that way it opens things up and whatever, we can get them switched back.
They found like some sort of glowy thing.
Oh yeah, they had a glowy thing. And meanwhile, I have to talk about the Giles and Xander moment where they bump into Spike in like an alleyway and they're like, Faith is on the loose. You've got to help us. And he's like, I hate you guys. Like, I'm not helping you. In fact, if I see her, I'm going to help her find you. Yeah, I hate you.
But he doesn't. He doesn't hate them.
He definitely hates them.
He hates them a little bit, but it's not going to last forever.
But we've said so many times before that the opposite of love is not hate. It is apathy. He feels things for the Scoobies, which means we're one step closer to them being besties. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and yes, Spike is very pissed off after the encounter with who he thinks is Buffy, but is actually Faith. And he like chucks a beer bottle at the wall and he pushes. I love when he pushes the people out of his way and then he like grabs his head because it hurts that he shoved a human. So meanwhile, let's go over and talk about Buffy and Faith's body for a minute, because all of a sudden the Watchers Council is like, hey, let's do our job today, friends.
Yeah. Guess who comes around? Guess who's finally taking responsibility? They're like, we are here. Because, okay, so this was what I found interesting. Because earlier you said nobody knew that Faith was the Slayer. That nurse knew because she calls the Watchers Council and goes, yes. Hello, Watchers Council. She has escaped. So they come. They first meet Giles. They say, Giles, we are here on official business meeting stuff. That's how Giles knows what's happening. And they finally like obtain Faith as Buffy. No, Buffy as Faith.
Buffy and Faith's body. Yeah, they have this like armored vehicle. They take out a police car and take Faith in Buffy or Buffy and Faith's body. And like, here's the thing. We've been new, Sarah, since day one, minute one of this podcast. We have been anti-council. We said, get a union, mm-hmm. get health insurance, get better rights for yourselves. Yes. I've never felt so good about us saying that than watching these motherfuckers treat a prisoner that, like, the way they treated who they think is Faith. They, like, hold her captive. Oh. This motherfucker hocked a loogie on her face.
That was pretty gross, but also
it was dripping. It was worse than the Hamilton moment, Sarah.
Alexander Hamilton?
The King George when he spits on the in the
Oh, are you talking about Jonathan Groff's spitting issue?
Yes.
Okay, what a deep cut.
Did you just see the size of that loogie on her face? Like, it was so disturbing to me. This is at point blank range. Like, this wasn't even like, oh, I'm going to pretend to spit in your general direction. Mm-hmm. Bitch was 3 inches from her face.
I know that we're not supposed to treat criminals poorly. Like, we're probably not supposed to spit in their face.
But you definitely are not. This is it's just so demeaning.
Obtaining Faith and like using force, I don't think is a bad idea if it really was Faith, because she is a sneaky ass criminal and she's already from them before.
But did you have to cause a car accident? Probably not. Like, you injured, I'm not trying to defend cops here, we all know that, but like, you're injuring people, you're holding her captive, and then when she is smart enough to like get one of them, they're like, yeah, but we sign shit on our way out, and like, if something happens, it happens. We're not gonna save our friend, like, go ahead and fucking kill him.
Well, it sounded like we use the little people to, you know, deal with the criminals. And, you know, he's that guy, that dude is disposable. And Buffy was like, oh, frick, like, I don't really want to kill a disposable person.
Well, then also I was interested in like after she takes the guy hostage, the other two are having a conversation and talking about some sort of like contingency plan. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is the contingency plan? Are they just going to kill her? Like, she's not even getting due process. Like, I understand they are in the UK, but like, the fuck is this bullshit? Like, she has a right to a trial and an attorney and all this other bullshit. But no, they're just going to fucking offer. And
why does she have a right to an attorney?
Because she's arrested.
Not by cops, by...
I know, but like, this is bullshit. You know what it is? I see people that are pretty much cops that are white men on my television screen, and I'm just like, get the fuck out of here.
Like, in actuality, they were kind of just doing their job. Like, the Watchers Council does suck, and they're not listening to her that she's actually Buffy. Buffy, like, if it was Faith, she deserves to be taken back to the UK. She's a criminal that was trying to explode all of Sunnydale.
Do you think they're going to take a ship all the way back? No, they couldn't have, because they got there too fast. No, wait, did she even get there? No, they just held her hostage in town.
They didn't,
they would have taken a ship because they would have had to go to the docks for sure. my favorite point of
no way. That would be such a way from California.
So long.
England.
That's so long.
Time.
What else are they going to do?
A armed plane. What are you talking about? This is not 1776. There's fucking things called aircrafts. What are you talking about?
One of my favorite moments of this whole section was when Buffy as Faith does actually escape and she steals their armored car, and this fucking idiot moron is like, I'm gonna shoot bullets at an armored car. What did you think was gonna happen, you dumb fuck?
Well, and it was that, and then also I was like, Buffy does not know how to drive. We all know that she's basically
she's a virgin who can't drive.
So I was like, how is Buffy getting there? But Buffy drove all the way to Giles. That is where she's like, and we talked about this scene earlier. It was really great. It was really great to be like, to see Eliza Dushku act as Buffy. And like, just like, once again, like there's the mannerisms, like the wide eyes, like the big, like pleading puppy dog, like eyes, like you have to believe me. She does this like little hair flippy thing.
I love the who's the president? We're checking for Buffy, not a concussion.
This is like the biggest trope in like TV ever. I've seen this a billion times. But what is one question that you should ask to make sure that it's me?
I would ask you to name as many types of tomato as you could.
Oh, okay. I just like, but once again, I feel like what happens if the criminal is just really good at knowing tomatoes?
Are there a lot of people that are really good at naming tomatoes?
Yeah, I think it has to be something that has to do with like experiences that you've done together that a lot of people don't know.
Okay.
Like, I think that what Buffy did was like, hey, like, I know what my mom was thinking while you guys were having sex. Like, I think that that was the move that clinched.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second because I have thoughts. But let's see. I don't know. What would you have to ask me? I'm trying to think of what I would ask you. I think it would have something to do with the podcast for sure, but it can't be anything that's on air because someone could have listened.
Yeah, I think that it is going to be something in your personal life. I'm thinking that's very specific that I don't think you share with a lot of people that we wouldn't share here.
Yes.
What if you could probably expose my shit because I say a lot of stuff.
I think one thing I could do is like, ask you to sing the States song and see how mad you get. And if you got mad, then I would know it would be you.
Yeah.
Because the other person would be like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, that's true. That is some bullshit. Actually.
See, you're already mad. I can tell.
I'm mad because it still does not make sense.
We're not going to relitigate this again.
I'm just saying like you brought me into that.
Why? See, I regret bringing it up at all.
You brought me into that challenge, like knowing that you had the secret under your belt. Also, I am very stupid. I feel like I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it as like in 2 minutes, but I think that I would be able to name more than I did that at that time.
Okay,
I didn't even know Iowa, I don't think, but now I do.
Did you Google what a stevedore is?
Is it a horse?
No.
Oh, no, I don't know.
And this makes me want to gag a little bit.
No,
so a stevedore is a person employed or a contractor engaged at a dock to load and unload cargo.
That is the equivalent.
He fucks like a stevedore. Does that mean he's loading and unloading cargo? Is that what that is?
I think like it's the equivalent to my fascination with somebody chopping wood, like a manly man that could just like throw shit around.
And because they're just so obsessed with the docks all the time, that's her version of a lumberjack as a dock worker.
Yeah, they've never seen a tree in their life.
No, they're like, what are fucking trees? I only know docks.
Yeah, they're like palm trees. I could do that.
Yeah,
like nobody's chopping up palm trees. What's the difference between a stevedore and a longshoreman? Huh? Thank you, Google. Obviously, that was my natural next question.
So luckily, Giles then believes her after she talks about her mom saying that he was a stevedore in bed, or I think she read her thoughts or something like that.
A longshoreman works primarily on the docks. So though that's the difference.
He's a longshoreman.
Very long.
And luckily, this is the same moment that like Willow and Tara walk in. They're like, yeah, we already been new. Like, obviously, we know who this
we're
is.
Behind.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think. Oh, the only other thing we have to discuss with Faith as Buffy is the Riley encounter.
This was okay.
Is it cheating if it's a Freaky Friday?
I don't think so. I hope that Buffy doesn't like hold this, because like there's no way that he would have ever known.
I mean, there were signs, but I think those signs could also just point to like this person's going through something, or this person is drunk. She shows up in all leather and wants to fuck you doggy style.
Okay, Riley doesn't even know that like this type of supernatural stuff actually exists. Like, it's he would have thought of a million excuses or a million reasons why Buffy was acting weird. And I think like she got Freaky Friday'd with that person that was mentioned twice in the last week, but never before.
And I love him being like, who's Faith? In that scene,
he was like, oh wait, yeah, that was, he was like, I don't know, and like, yeah, you know, Buffy like barely explained the whole situation to him, so like I really don't blame him. Like, yeah, I think that I would have thought that Buffy was like drunk or something. I would have been like, but so okay, so she comes in with her like crazy ass hair and her leather, and she is being very dominant, and I love Riley. I would die for Riley. The entire episode I was terrified with my entire being that Faith was going to kill Riley. Like, I convinced myself it was happening. I was so close to spoiling myself because I was so anxious about it. Thank goodness I did not. But I was convinced. I was like, she's going to kill him. Because, like, she said earlier that, like, oh, like, you know, I need to get, like, revenge. She's going to go after like the people that I care about. I just like thought all signs were pointing to Riley was going to die in these couple of episodes, especially because of like, I don't know, like how the fact that like Riley was like, I'd love you to Buffy, the first I love you. I was like, I was convinced that it was going to happen. It did not. I was like on Amazon trying to find a veil wholeheartedly. I would it would have been terrible. It could still happen. I'm sure
he might still die, but I love that. This is what I love about Faith, that she is all about the like psychological torture. She's like, I'm not gonna kill your boyfriend, I'm gonna fuck your boyfriend.
I do enjoy that better. And like my husband was like, there is no way that Faith is going to kill Riley. He thinks, and it's probably true, that Adam is going to kill Riley.
I could see that happening. I could see that. Like, or Riley like sacrifices himself or something. Oh my God.
But baby angel, perfect face. So I don't, yeah. So he should have known, because the fact is that Buffy came in and was acting like a horny ass freak. Like,
yeah,
and
Faith fucks like a monster truck. Like, Faith just fucking mows shit down. She's like doggy style, reverse cowgirl. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna suck your dick clean off.
Yes.
Riley is, I hate to say this, but Riley makes love.
Yeah. Well, okay. Riley is a gentleman. He
fucking, like, I can't. I was like, he had a Game Boy Advance, he had me. And then he said the thing that he said about like pretty much just making love. And I was like, ick, nope, goodbye. Thank you.
So like, the thing is that my guy Riley, he thinks that a spicy night is when the girl's on top. He is.
It's all right, though.
He's like, yeah, I am going to have sex with my woman in the bed only. In the bed only.
Missionary.
Yeah, on the couch, wild night. It's insane. Like,
lights have to be off. We have to be under the covers.
Yeah. Lights are off, under the covers.
Under the covers.
Yeah. And it's like first soft and gentle, and then I'm going to slip it in slowly, respectfully. I'm going to say, are you okay? Every single time.
Yeah. He's going to ask one too many times, are you enjoying this?
Yeah.
Are you enjoying this?
Like, if Prince Charming fucked, which I'm sure he does, he will do, it's the same thing. I'm going to be a gentleman. I'm going to make sure you're feeling okay. If you're not wet enough, I'm going to stop and say, can I finger you for an extra 5 minutes to make sure you're in the mood? We are respectful. We are kind. We are going to take care of you.
It's because he's a golden retriever. He wants to get praise at the end of it. He wants a treat, you know?
A woman with Riley always comes first. Always comes first.
I just had a realization.
What?
We've been saying Riley is a golden retriever.
Yeah.
You know what he has a poster of on his wall?
Balls.
Balls.
Exactly.
It adds up. Maybe he's secretly a golden retriever.
He's like an animorph. Or what's that shit called?
Animorphs.
Well, animorphs. But what's the one in Harry Potter where Sirius?
Oh, Animagus.
Same thing. Same thing.
So, yeah. So I just like, as soon as I saw Faith as Buffy enter Riley's room, I'm like, oh no, Riley cannot handle sex with Faith.
She's gonna wreck him. Absolutely wreck him. He's going to be thinking about it for the next 10 years. Then all of a sudden, he's gonna get a porn addiction because he'll never get back that moment that he had with Buffy that night. It's gonna be terrible, but hopefully he didn't get ruined too much. Oh my God. Jessica Sterling. When he, while inside of her,
literally inside of her,
I love you.
What an unhinged thing to do. I don't think you should be allowed to have your dick in someone the first time you say, I love you.
I love it. I would come instantly. You say, I love you, orgasm. The hardest orgasm I've ever had. That is a fact and a half. I'll tell you that much for free.
Instead, he made her cry.
Actually, probably the normal response.
And not in a good way.
Ask 100 women, 99 of them would cry.
Yeah, like, don't, I'm sorry. Like, we barely have finished having sex. Like, your dick is literally still inside of me. And on top of that, I feel like, and this is not on him, more so like, I feel, because he's doing missionary, because it's the way he likes, he is like lording over her, like just on top of her. And he says, I love you. And like, I feel suffocated and I'm not the one underneath him. And instantly Faith is like, what are you trying to pull? Like, what are you trying to do to her? Like, she doesn't believe him because that's not what Faith has experienced. Like, Faith has not experienced real love in this way. And so immediately she's like, what is this guy trying to pull? Like, what is
this? Off of me. She's like screaming, get off of me, get off of me.
He took 2 seconds too long to get off of her, by the way. The minute someone says get off of me, you leap.
No, you leap out that bed. Finish the pump just once.
He had already came. Get your dirty dick out of there. I don't know. I think, what, you think he said, I love you before he came?
1,010%. Yes.
So he didn't finish? No, he finished. There's no way they were not done.
He did not finish.
I don't believe
nobody finished that night. Maybe.
What a terrible time having sex. They're so incompatible in the bedroom. Like golden retriever missionary style. Faith and
okay. Do not
and Riley. Not Buffy. No,
don't disparage. Although Ruffy, don't.
I will say,
because Buffy loves that. If she was mid sex, penis inside before he came, I love you. Buffy would be eating that shit up because my girl is romantic. My girl wants
with daddy issues.
Nine. My girl 1,000% has daddy issues.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing.
What?
There is one way in which Riley and Faith would be compatible, and it is the post-fight fuck. Because both of them love a post-fight fuck.
Yeah, but Buffy did learn from Faith that post-fight fuck is fabulous.
Yeah, she says it's like popping a balloon or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
Pop, exhaling. Pop.
Yeah. So they fuck. This is a big thing because...
Yeah. Yeah.
Later on, after the Freaky Friday has switched back, after they have pulled the shit, I don't know. Buffy looks real upset. She looks real upset.
It's not cheating. If he thought
it's not cheating if it's Freaky Friday.
It's not cheating if it's Freaky Friday. It's just a mistake. He did not know. It would have been, if she holds this against Riley, I will never forgive Buffy. He is. He's not his fault. Like I said earlier, he could be thinking it's a billion different things, a billion things. And that would be the last thing that he would have thought of. Yeah. There's no fucking way, you know? Yeah. He didn't even think it's a possibility.
I definitely don't think it's his fault, but I understand Buffy being like upset by it because Faith is her mortal nemesis at this point. Like, this girl is trying to fuck up Buffy's entire ass life.
Yeah.
Like, the interesting thing is that I hope we get some sort of like debrief on or like go back to this is I want to know why Buffy thought Faith returned to the church to like kick ass to slay because she was on her way. She had a freaking flight and everything. And she came back to kick ass at the church. And we know, you and I know, it's because of like the validation, right? Like when she took down that asshole at the Bronze, that girl was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And we could see it really affected her. And I assume that that's probably why she returned to the church so that she could feel that way again when she helped save people. But what does Buffy think, you know?
I don't know. Like I don't think that she really is grasping this whole situation. It's very nuanced. Like, I think that I don't know. Number one, like after they switch back, she was just able to escape and then what caught a train and is just like going down.
It seemed like she was in the back of like a farm vehicle, like in the bed of a truck or something.
Yeah, like that. Like
looking, she was doing your move of like looking out the window crying, ooh, but there was no real window. She was looking through the slats in the wood.
Yeah, that's really good. Gaps. Also, it's so not going back to this. It's so not Riley's fault because Freaky Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan didn't come out until 2003 and this aired in late 2000. This was not even like, I know that there was an older Freaky Friday, but nobody watched that shit back then. I think that was like a 70s movie.
Yeah, it was really long. It was 80?
It was a long time ago.
76. Okay, there you go.
So, yeah, like Riley doesn't have time to watch the 76 Freaky Friday. So like he really did not know. If this was after 2003, then maybe I could have been like, yeah, maybe you could have thought about that. But no, it's very, very different. Nonetheless, I don't know what Buffy was thinking because I wonder if she still is. I mean, I really like the moment where she was just like, you know, like, I'm responsible for Faith. Like, hopefully, like, we can, like, rehab her. But after that, like, the whole situation, she's definitely not thinking that way. And I don't even know, like, if Faith is, like, you know, has let go of her anger. It's very confusing as to, like, what exactly is going on in Faith's mind. Because now she... like there was like such a big reaction after the I love you scene slash like making love scene. She like goes back to try and like kill the vampires, like the evil ones that are like, I don't know, trying to take over the whatever with Adam, the church. So I'm like, did she have a change of heart? Like, is she trying to get like her redemption arc? Like, is she coming around? And this is something that like I didn't really think it was possible, but it seems as though like all signs point to yes.
I think she's going to have a redemption arc. I think this is like, it's only a matter of time. I don't know that it's this season. Like maybe it's next season because Buffy turns out to be pretty much a slow burn. Like they're like, we'll bring people back in different seasons. We don't care. A lot of shows I would think like, oh, we only have this actor for this season, so we want to wrap shit up. Mm-hmm. But I am fully on team Faith will get a redemption arc.
Yeah. I have one more like little like snippet that I wanted to bring up. But before I do, is there anything else from this episode that you wanted to touch on?
No, mostly we're doing some setup for Adam now where like he has recruited the vampires by force and he is using them to destroy the world. And like it was the weakest part of the two-parter for me. And I didn't really care about any of that. It only mattered because Buffy and Faith came in and saved the day at the end of the church. But yeah, we are establishing that. And he full on just squishes a vampire's head like just with his bare hand. So worth pointing that out. But that was all I had.
Yeah, wasn't that vampire like the one that we saw very, very early on in the season, like the first episode, the one that was like with that blonde girl, that blonde vampire, and he got to escape? I thought that he looked familiar.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. I want to go back to the first scene where Faith and Buffy were making the bed.
Okay. Yes.
And did you catch what they said, why they're making the bed?
Someone's sister was coming or something, right?
Mm-hmm. I want you to read back, and I just want you to be like, what does this mean?
Okay, hold on a second. Here we go. They smell good, don't they? Clean sheets like summer. I wish you could stay. Oh, you have to go? Little sis coming, I know. Buffy's little sister, it sounds like. Buffy has a little sister?
Evidently so.
Since fucking when?
What?
I said, since fucking when?
I know. Well, that's what I wanted to bring up, because I actually think I know.
You think you're spoiled on something, or you think you have a guess?
And I think I spoiled on something. So,
okay. What if this is her dad's like second family or something?
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
I don't know. Okay. I've never heard mention of.
I think it's weird to just be like, yeah, your little sis is coming. And I agree with you. Like, what little sis?
Yeah,
I think I know, but what little sis? It's like such a weird thing to like just sneak in there.
Yeah, it is. I don't know who's someone's little sister, unless it's like a Slayer sister. You know what I mean? Like, unless it's not like a blood relative, mom and dad had a second kid kind of thing, and more of a like your sister Slayer.
Sister.
Little sis is coming. I know. So much to do before she gets here.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking weird. Especially, and we know, like, there have been dream situations. Like, Buffy's had, like, prophecy moments. And there have been moments where, like, Faith and Buffy are, like, connecting in a dream. So you can't just point to this and be like, oh, Faith's brain is just making shit up. First of all, this is Buffy. They don't just throw shit in there for no reason. Yeah.
I mean, if it meant nothing, then why would they bring it up in, like, the first scene?
It could have just been like, oh, my mom really wants me to make my bed. Like, it shouldn't have anything to do with little sister.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I watched this episode twice, but also I don't think I had the subtitles on yet. And so I think I missed that one line.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also like freaking Faith was there, and it was like, obviously it seemed like a dream. Like it felt, it had like the dreamlike qualities. It felt like a little fuzzy, but also it was like, it was something that like I caught right away. And I was just like, interesting that this is like what they're saying, the words that are coming out of their mouth.
Yeah. Before we get into the angel stuff, Cordy's Corner for the week, I did get a reply for my request to consensually Freaky Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for his first thing was, what? And I said, so we swap bodies for 15 minutes and then swap back. And he said, only if you were under supervision, but even then, all caps, no.
He doesn't trust you. He doesn't
trust me. So rude.
Man. I mean,
no trust between podcast partners, I guess.
If you wanted to Freaky Friday with me, then you could definitely do that.
Well, thank you. That's so kind.
But then I get to ask Will anything.
Yeah. See, this is why we wouldn't do that. Okay. Are we ready for Cordy's Corner?
Yeah.
So we have season 1, episode 15, The Prodigal, where we got to hear some more horrendous Irish accent. However, we also got to see our girl, Darla.
Yeah. Okay. It was the same actress that played Darla, right?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so, but I just like wasn't sure because it's been a while. She looks
different. I think they just got better at makeup and stuff since she was originally on.
Yeah. So this was an interesting episode because like we knew that Angel killed his parents, but I don't think that we knew that Angel had like major daddy issues, and he was like, Angel, Liam, you're a waste of space all the time. He's like, you suck. And like all the time he was like emotionally abusing
poor Angel. And he's like, I just want to fuck some girls and go along with my life, dad.
Yeah. He's like, come on, dad. Let me have like a good night once in a while. Like, let me go out and drink. And his dad is like, go to church.
This episode should have been named Daddy Issues because daddy we also issues. Had to put up with Kate and her daddy issues.
Yeah.
And then her dad dies and she blames Angel and it's really annoying.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was a tough situation because he figures out what's happening with Kate's dad and the dad's up to like no good, made like a
shoddy. He's working with vampires.
Shoddy people. And like the people are going to kill him because they know that the daughter probably knows stuff and she's a cop, blah, 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 blah. But so he is like, he made it there in time, but they were like, he's like, invite me in, like, let me help you. And the dad just did not get it. And basically he had to like watch Kate's dad die right in front of his eyes.
Because he wouldn't leak. The guy couldn't just say, come on in.
Yeah. Or like
three words.
Let's take this fight outside.
Like, he just had to say, Angel, you are gifted permission to enter my abode. He didn't even have to say that fancy.
Well, he kept saying no. He's like, you're not allowed in.
Because he's a fucking douchebag. You know what? I'm not sad to see him go. And I wouldn't be sad to see Kate go. Because Kate fucking sucks too. And she's boring.
She's boring. I didn't mind her this episode. I thought that it was a little interesting, but I mean, I liked this episode of Angel. I yawned, not because I thought it was boring, just because I'm tired.
It was fine. Like, it was fine, I think, is where I land. There was some fun, or no, sorry. I think the next episode is the one with the fun Wesley moments. This episode was just fine. I don't know.
I liked it. I like seeing the backstory. I know that the Irish accents are rough, but
they're funny, though.
They're funny. And it was interesting to see Angel's dynamic with his family. Of course, we saw Darla as Angel's sire. Like, we hadn't seen, I felt like we did see that, but we haven't seen it before.
We saw a different moment. We saw the moment she like actually makes him a vampire, but we didn't see some of the other stuff we saw this
like
episode.
How she came across him because
and how she makes him motorboat her with blood.
Sexy. So I
vampire things.
Like it because it was, I guess, missing information about Angel. I definitely enjoyed it. I don't really think Cordelia got to wear a wig. Hooray for Cordelia. Good Wesley for her. Is kind of like a scientist. He found, oh no, never mind. That was the second episode that I watched, but was actually last week's episode where he was like doing science experiments and he found that like fluorescent goop. That was last week's episode.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I kind of got confused because I did watch two episodes of Angel, but it was this week's and last week's, not this week's and this week's, which is next week's. So I got a little confused. I didn't mind the first episode. Now you're going to have to tell me what happened in the second because
it's very easy. It's very easy. Are you ready?
I feel called so embarrassed because I was like, I nailed it. Like, I'm all caught up. I am not.
It's really fine. Okay. It's called The Ring. Think of it as Demon Flight Club.
Ew. Oh no.
So
I Angel it was like ring, like
no, like a boxing ring.
Forget it. So fucking forget it.
Basically what happens is Angel like becomes a slave in this like underground demon boxing ring.
Yeah.
And Cordy and Wesley get really concerned because he like doesn't call them, doesn't show up to work. So they have to figure out how to save him. And he has on these like bracelets that essentially if you step out of the ring, you just poof, like you dust in the same way you would if you get staked.
Okay.
So they need to figure out a way to get to save him. Wesley has some fun moments. Cordelia, because she's an icon and a queen, was like incredible. There was a moment where they had to get into the fight club, and to do that they needed this like card or whatever. So they approach this other couple because it's very like rich people spending their money in dumb ways, right? Mm-hmm. So they approach this couple and they pretend they're with the police. And even Cordelia says to Wesley, like, get your badge out. And then she starts pestering them with questions and they just answer her, you know, a typical Cordelia move where she just like gets people, like, you know, catches them off guard, gets all the information she needs, and then gets the fuck out of there. And she's even the one who also, someone else leaves one of those bracelets somewhere, and she's able to snatch it so that Wesley can kind of do like the reverse technology on it to save Angel. But Angel's whole thing is like, he's forced to do this like gladiator thing, but he doesn't want to kill anybody. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, yeah, whatever, Angel. But it's fine. I think like the Wesley and Cordy stuff is better than any of the gladiator stuff. Yeah.
The gladiator stuff makes me want to like die, but the rest of the stuff kind of sounds interesting.
Yeah. I would say, like, if you're interested in watching, I do think that like the Cordelia and Wesley stuff is fun. But it's like, it's fine. Like, it's an okay episode. I wasn't like insulted by it. There was some different, like, it was interesting to see the different like species of demons and stuff, I guess. But yeah, it was very Fight Club.
So. Okay. All right. Yeah. Good to know. Cool.
That's that episode. But yeah, now, and oh, we do have, I have two pieces of feedback.
Okay.
I have a question from our friend and listener, Tom Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's worse? Sleeping, if you're Riley, what's worse? You sleep with Buffy's body in Faith's mind, like he did, or you fuck Faith's body, but Buffy's mind is in there.
I think fucking Faith's body, even if Buffy's mind is there.
Wait, say that again. Which one is worse? I think fucking Faith's mind is worse. I think you need Buffy's mind to be there.
Really? Like, so then the body is just a vessel. But what happens if like Faith's body feels better?
Then you're in trouble.
I think that has to be the body of, we disagree. I think he might think that, like, he might be like an emotional person. Like, oh, like our souls connect. And also,
I just got a message because I think my husband overheard us because he's taking the dogs out. And he said, what the hell are you talking about? I said, Freaky Friday Buffy episode. And he said, gross.
Gross. Grody. I think that it's worse. I don't know. This is very much like physical cheating or emotional cheating, which is worse. It's like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. They're both bad. And we also got an email from Joy. And she says she's back and she's crazier than ever. Faith coming back is one of my favorite parts of season 4. I love the dream sequence we get with Buffy being the villain in Faith's mind. And I also love that because Faith has pretty much had a psychotic break, Buffy represents the dark side of being the Slayer, a cold and emotionless killer. And Faith's buried side, her human side that knows right from wrong, is the ultimate winner. At least that's how I always interpreted the dream. I don't love that she beat up the girl who was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, but I do love how Eliza Dushku played her feelings of played her feelings of isolation and betrayal, especially when she sees Riley. Buffy stabbed her to save Angel, and she's not even with him anymore. That bitch, LOL. Mm-hmm, yeah. I also love that turn in front of the college message board thing. Oh, yeah. When Buffy says, like, post-hasty, which is also just, like, a fun thing to say. And then Faith turns around. Willow hating Faith is funny and consistent, but I feel like she lacks some empathy. Spike hating the Scoobies is great, though, and he gets annoyed with not being able to hurt them sometimes, and I love it. Nice little guest spot of the mayor. Doesn't Faith know the rule? You don't mess with the mom. Joyce is awesome, though. She's calm and bitchy and ballsy. Side note, I actually love how easy it is to tell when a stunt double is in a shot and not the actor. My husband and I enjoy calling it out because it happens so much.
Yeah,
it's so true, though. I did notice that as well. I don't mind it. It's camp, you know.
Yeah.
5x5, we got a body switching episode, and Faith in Buffy's body is such a delight. SMG has to have had a blast with this.
Yeah,
Faith is gonna wreak so much havoc, and she does. Sleeping with Riley, calling out Willow's new and different relationship with Tara, teasing Spike because she can sense some attraction, but with Riley she starts to feel something different. He's kind. He's affectionate. He's not just using her, and it terrifies her.
Yeah.
Faith has never known that kind of softness and gentleness, and it's so sad. Faith being treated like Buffy and Buffy treated like Faith just shows that Faith never had a chance. Yes, mm-hmm. She became a killer, But even before that, she was treated differently. She wasn't a bad seed in the beginning. She just never had someone to help her step away from the ledge. Oh, I love that saying. As awful as what Faith did to Buffy, this was the best thing that could happen to her. It changed her, hopefully for the better, but it woke up that part of her that cares. She was on her way to leave, and she chose to stay and help those people. The growth in her fake, because it's wrong, to her actually believing it when she says it is so well done. The fight between her and herself as Buffy was so heartbreaking and revealing. She hates herself, and she thinks she's a monster too. Not worth anything. It makes me cry every time. We didn't really talk about that, Sarah, but I really did like that when they actually are having that fight out in the church and Faith is like screaming at herself as she's hitting her own face, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's
really really poetic almost. That you're just like, yeah, like sometimes like the person that you hate the most is yourself, and like you have, you know, being able to take that energy out. Really interesting. I didn't think about it that way, but next time I watch that scene, I'm going to have that in mind.
It definitely felt like there's a good amount of self-loathing with Faith.
I think that's going to just like make the scene even more powerful, which I didn't realize could be possible. So very well said.
Joyce says the Adam stuff is fine. The Willow and Tara magic stuff is cute. And I love the callbacks to both the pack and band candy and earshot. But it's all about Faithy's episode. And that's just fine with me. Now for Cordy's Corner. I didn't get a chance to watch these considering I fell asleep 5 seconds after the credits of this year's Girl last night and finished it in Who You Are this morning. But Prodigal is very Kate-centric, so it'll be interesting to see if y'all like it. I do feel bad for her. She's just a normal cop being thrust into the supernatural, but she doesn't understand the shades of gray and is very black or white when it comes to morals. I don't know if you were doing the second one since you did two Buffy episodes, but I liked The Ring. It's like a low budget gladiator movie, and the addition of Lila is nice, continuing the story of Wolfram and Hart law firm.
What?
There was this other woman who was like rich and fancy and was at the Ring as well.
Okay.
It was cool to see Wesley and Cordelia team up to find Angel and rescue him when he's the one usually doing the rescuing. Mm-hmm. All right, that's all I got. Hopefully I sent this in time, but if not, that's okay. You did, Joy. There was this other woman. Honestly, like I was very busy today and I was not paying full attention when she was on screen, but I don't know if she's going to continue. There was just like this rich woman that continued the whole law firm thing that we've been hearing about.
Got it. Perfect. Understood.
So, but those were our episodes. I don't know if I need to whisper this, but I'm going to shout it. Season 4 is great.
It's great.
I don't know that the show can do anything at this point. We only have 6 episodes left of this season.
Destroy the reputation of season 4.
That's what I'm saying. They would have to do so much to make me dislike this season, because overwhelmingly, Sarah, I think we have like most of these episodes we've really enjoyed.
Yeah.
There's a few duds. I will not forget Beer Bad. Okay.
Beer Bad's not that bad. It was whatever. It was bad,
but it's not that bad.
It's not pack bad.
It's not the pack bad.
Tell you, if there was 6 episodes of the pack, in the next 6 episodes, maybe it would bring down the season. Other than that, I don't know what could.
That's what I'm saying. This season is incredible, okay? And I think people's problem with it is there's a lot of camp and there's a lot of like fun shit. But we like camp and we like fun shit.
We do. And
here we are, loving season 4.
We didn't really have that much bad to say about season 1. And that's why people were like, it's so campy. Like, we don't want you to judge it based off the first season. We like it. We're good.
Yeah, it was great. So next week, we're going to come back with 1 episode because we're back on our normal stuff.
Yeah.
Season 4, episode 17, Superstar.
Superstar.
Superstar. Yeah. Is Buffy going to smell her hands after they've been in her armpits?
Hopefully not.
And then Angel's episode is titled Eternity.
Oh.
I don't know what that means. And next week we'll be joined by AJ Mass. So that will be very exciting.
Fabulous.
We have some guests lined up for the end of this season. So I'm loving season 4. I'm on a high right now. This is great.
We're having a good old time.
Yeah. This has been fabulous. Okay. Yeah. Anything else, Sarah? I don't think, no. I'm trying to think of anything. I don't have anything else to say. That's
no, I have nothing to say.
Okay. Well, everyone, join us next week for Superstar. We hope you enjoyed our very high rating, even though we didn't give one on these two episodes of Buffy. Everybody cross their fingers. Faith comes back soon because we love her.
Sure.
I love her leather pants. I just love her leather pants.
Yeah.
I do love a linen pant though. That's my latest love is a linen pant. Very nice for the summer. Okay. Well, we'll be back next week with season 4, episode 17. Until then, everyone, here endeth the lesson. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught.